Hello, everyone. My name is Doug Woodard, executive coach with Advisor Game Plan. Welcome to the Thriving Sports Podcast, our public podcast available to everyone. We do have two podcasts. Number one is a client-only private podcast called Thriving Coaches. And number two is this public podcast available to everyone. In this public podcast, in each episode, we'll be talking to a successful coach or leader about specific ways they enhance their team's culture and player development, as well as many other valuable topics.
And I'm Brian Willett, founder and CEO of Advisor Game Plan. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to sit back and learn from each of these episodes with these amazing coaches. Thank you for joining us as we dive deeper into these areas that can lift a team from average to good to great.
Hello, everyone. Here with Luke Olson, head coach at Bennington High School. Luke played at Hastings College for both Mike Trader and Lance Creech. That's a couple different characters.
Yes, it is.
Luke scored 1,000 points there. Became head coach at Bennington in 2011 after assisting with Chip Baugh at Millard North for 5 years. Wife Holly, 3 children now. Son Gavin, believe is a senior.
Yep, gonna be.
Gonna be a senior, yep. And daughters Addie and Camry. I think Addie's in high school, Camry's still in middle school, eighth grade.
Yep.
Obviously a beautiful family, and you can talk about that a little bit in a minute. Lost this past season in overtime in the state tourney to a very talented, very tough Norris team. Coach, welcome, and maybe you can begin a little bit on the family front and then a little bit of an intro into who you're returning from last year's state tourney squad and what you're focusing on this summer.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here. I always love talking hoops and getting different perspectives from different coaches. So you're right. You know, wife Holly, we've been married, I think this will be our 20-year anniversary this summer. So I got to remember, I got it in the calendar. That's one thing you can't forget. But
don't forget that.
She's a great coach's wife, really supportive, drags kids. You know, when we were young and early, she drug kids to every game. And so my kids have been in a gym, which I think is really important. So she's awesome. She's my best friend. We've had a long, you know, a fun run together. And then 3 kids, you know, Gavin, Addie, and Camry are all really active in sports, and we're at that point now where we kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. So we're really enjoying this last summer with Gavin and his sports. We're looking ahead. You know, we're going to be empty nesters soon. And so just trying to appreciate, you know, I remember when we were younger, just the grind of all the youth sports and all the activities and just, you know, wishing it was kind of slowing down. And now that we're getting towards the end of it, you know, I think we got a better appreciation of it. So great family. We've had a lot of fun. Really excited about the summer and this upcoming season. We return a lot. You're talking, you know, it was a great state tournament. Norris, really talented team. They bring, you know, virtually everybody back. So does Scott. Class B is going to be a really, really loaded class. And so we're fortunate. You know, it was an interesting year last year. We lost 2 senior starters, one before the season started and one about a third of the way through, which was an unfortunate thing for those 2 great kids, you know, Gunnar Lim and Bryce Dunning. But, you know, everything that happens, there's a positive and a negative to it. And so the positive was we got a lot of juniors, quite a bit of playing time. So Jace Fitzgerald started at point guard for us. Austin Kaiser, Gavin Olson, and Hudson Neuwirth. You know, those 4 guys started and were our 4 leading scorers. So we bring those 4 back. Great kids. You know, obviously, I've watched them grow up, you know, coached a lot of them in youth teams. They have a great connection. You know, Aiden Smith played for us off the bench. Tyler Zock played for us off the bench. And we bring new, you know, Cooper Johnson was very capable. Didn't play as many minutes last year, but we're expecting big things from him this year. So we feel pretty good about our top 7 coming back. And we got some young kids that we feel like can fill some roles. So we're excited. You know, they're an energetic bunch, really engaged with each other, really connected. We got a long ways to go. It's early in the journey, but I like where they are right now mentally and physically. And so we're excited. You know, a lot of multi-sport athletes. So a lot of these guys are football too. So trying to balance that in the summer is always a challenge, but a good challenge to have. So it's been a good summer start. We're excited about finishing it out and just kind of, one day at a time.
You mentioned, Coach, the multi-sport dimension. Obviously, you're at a school that's been wildly successful in football. In your view, how does a basketball coach try to leverage that as a positive and not a negative to building a great basketball program?
Yeah, you know, it's I wouldn't call it a negative. I'd call it a challenge. But I think there's a lot more positives. And, our football team's been unreal. Our coaches do a great job. Kids are really engaged, really locked in. But those kids play a lot of sports. And so, you know, there's been a lot of success in a lot of sports at Bennington over the last few years. But it wasn't always that way. You know, it was early in my career. We were still transitioning to Class B. We had a hard time. You know, we had a lot of struggles as the growth started happening. But as the growth has continued, we've gotten bigger. There's still been a really strong emphasis on multi-sport athletes, which I think is a really big positive. Maybe not in some cases in the short term for some sports. Like, we do struggle early in the season, I feel like, because a lot of our guys are still trying to catch their get to their legs. And so we've lost some games early over the last few years. But in the long scheme, you know, when you talk about what's best for the kid, you know, if you treat it the right way, winning breeds winning. And I think that you just have to be prepared for the challenges. You have to make sure you take advantage of the opportunities you get, because we don't get as many opportunities as a team as some other schools do that have maybe fewer multi-sport athletes. But I think our workouts, when we do get together, are a lot more intentional and purposeful, because the kids know that they don't have as many opportunities. So we really emphasize that. I think that when you win in one sport, it carries over into the next sport. And so as you get used to winning, I think that it helps a lot of sports. And I think a big part of that is our coaches across the board are very, you know, a lot of people say they support multi-sport athletes, but maybe their actions don't always consistent with that. We don't at Bennington. We genuinely want our kids multi-sport athletes, which means we have to cooperate and give kids breaks and maybe not work out as many times as some other schools, because it's not what's best for the kid. And so, but if you have that long-term vision of what's best for the kid and what's best for your programs, I think multi-sport's really, really important if handled the right way.
You know, at West, we probably had more multi-sport kids than a lot of Class A programs. And we were fortunate that at least, especially football, basketball, had a very cooperative these last, and I don't know if you do something like this or if you do it a little differently, but at West, we would actually, so what looked like would be maybe our top group of a dozen or so would lift with and condition with the football kids in that summer. We would have a time very early in the morning where we do that, those types of things, and then they would go out and throw or do whatever it is they do, and the basketball kids would come. And if there was a kid that was on both, a couple days a week, they'd come in and get some skill work, and a couple days a week, they'd go out and throw or whatever. So did you have any schedule similar to that?
Yeah, and that's good. You know, I always like, you know, hearing what other teams do. We're lucky, you know, Cam Leonard and I are really good friends, and so we talk. And so in the summer, we work out 4 days, and two are football days, two are basketball days. And obviously the kids that don't play football come to basketball all 4 days, and the kids that only play football go to football all 4 days. But, you know, they lift together, and then on the basketball days, we get all the basketball guys together. On the football days, they get all the football guys. So I think you have to have that. I would have a hard time coaching with somebody that demanded kids be at everything that would hurt another sport. And I think that's the nice thing with Cam and I being on the same page, and really every coach, sharing athletes, being proactive enough to talk ahead of time about, hey, can we have these guys on this day because we want to do a 7-on-7 tournament, or can we take our guys to a team camp? And I think that's hard in some areas, maybe across the state, because the communication piece is not there, and everyone's first thought is their program, which I understand. But I think there's a lot of benefits to working together. The kids know it. The kids know that we talk a lot, so they can't shortchange one of the programs. And I think it does. I think it's helped me become a better coach. I think Cam has enjoyed being around programs that support each other. And I think a lot of the coaches at Bennington would say the same thing, that if the athletes are being shared and it's done the right way, we all benefit from it.
Right. And the perspective, I think, as coaches you have to have is, what is in the student-athlete's best interest, not what is in my best interest as a coach, which might, in your view anyway, seem to incline itself towards monopolizing the time of that individual. And then whatever's left over maybe go to some. But that's not the way it works when you have the best interests of the student in mind,
right,
and not your own program.
Yeah, yep, I agree.
You know, I've always been incredibly impressed with a team spirit, and we're going to define that as the readiness to sacrifice one's personal ambition and self-interest for the good of a team, which isn't human nature, by the way, at Bennington. Can you discuss what things you think are important for young coaches to know in this area and how they can work to build that type of team spirit in their team?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's a great topic, and you could probably spend hours talking about this, because I know I've always appreciated how your teams played together and the type of commitment they had, and just you can tell teams across the state by how they practice or how they play with the teams that are connecting, the teams that aren't. And I think it's more art than science. I don't think it's a cookie cutter curriculum. I think you got to be adaptable to the kid you have. I think if I was a young coach, I think it's important to know the vision you have for your program, and you can't be great at everything, so you have to pick and choose. You know, I don't have great X's and O's. There's parts of my game that I need to get better at, but what I've committed myself to is the culture, building kids the right way, and putting a team first kind of mentality, and that's where most of my energy's gone. And so, you know, we do a lot of things with, I put my youth kids around my high school kids as often as possible. You know, we work camps. I have my high school kids talk to youth kids a lot. I want my young kids seeing my high school kids in challenging situations and wanting to be like them someday. And I want that relationship. So when they talk about, like, when we talk about the Bennington program, I do treat it like my K-12 program. It's not a 9-12. We treat it like a K-12 program. So in Bennington right now, there's a lot of kids that are young that want to be Badgers. We support that. We make it the thing we want to do. We see a lot of Badger gear across the city. A lot of parents want their kids to be doing things like that. So I think that's a huge part of it. I also think that we tell a lot of stories. You know, a lot of our drills are named after former players. We do a lot of things where I have like on Huddle, we have what we call our Badger Legends, which every year I take a clip of the top 10 to 15 plays from that year in the biggest games and add it to the reel and just tell guys, like, if you want to be part of this reel, it's gonna require sacrifice and effort in the offseason. So just kind of making kids want to be part of that type of commitment, type of energy. And at the varsity level, you know, just a lot of stories. I'm a big book reader. So I've studied and read a lot of books. One of my favorite ones is Culture Code, that just talks about, it studied the greatest cultures in America and really the world, and just what they have in common. And you try to emulate or simulate that with your program, or how you can apply that to high school kids. So I think it's a process. It definitely takes time. It's not a 1-year fix. So as a young coach, just knowing what are the most important pillars of what your program is going to become, and then trying to make sure whatever you're doing has a purpose behind it that's still trying to serve and move your program towards that vision you have for it.
Boy, that's some great stuff. And I hope people, coaches that are listening, will, as you said earlier, we can all pick something up and doing those kind of things that make your program unique, or give kids in the lower grades an impetus to really want to be a part of something, I think is very important. And it sounds like you're obviously doing that. Can you think of any obstacles in the present age we live in to building team spirits that coaches are going to inevitably face and have to be able to persevere through?
I think there's a lot of them. I really do. I feel like our youth sports scene is not really setting our kids up for success in a lot of ways. You know, kids jump ship from one club to the next club, and they're just, and I don't blame parents and I don't blame kids. I'm not saying that. I feel like right now we are very much a me first society. And so every decision we make is what's best for my son or what's best for myself. But I think kids are losing out on, like, when you genuinely buy into a team first mentality and you become part of a team and you're around kids like that, it's really rewarding. And I think that a lot of kids that when they learn that, when they experience that, they want more of it, because we're not built to be selfish. You know, we're designed to be connected to each other. And I think that the earlier you can create those connections and create safe environments to compete and safe environments to be yourself and be vulnerable and take part in team activities and have that reciprocated with team members, it's contagious. And I think a lot of kids grow up in a me first club mentality, and they think that that's the way it should be done. And so hopefully what we generate at Bennington is a team where when you commit yourself to being a member of the team, you're accepted, which makes you want to play for the other person. It makes you want to go out of your way. You know, we support things like hand-to-hand contact. We want touches, you know, hands touching hands. We want pointing at the person that gave the pass. We want to celebrate guys that take charges and do the dirty work. And I think when the leading scorers do a good job of that, your leaders support that and buy into that, it can filter down. And we've seen it both. We've had, you know, teams that haven't had that connection. But I think what you do then is the next group, you point out the things, not the person or the individual, but parts of that last year's team that didn't go well and the mistakes made in the cause. And they can see the ripple effect of it. And you can point out, like, there was 1 year I remember we had a lot of talented athletes, really good friends, but our year didn't go very well. I felt like we underachieved. And we were meeting after the season. We had a lot of guys coming back, and I sat him down and I said, what do you think was the cause? Like, what happened? Why didn't we perform as well as we were able to perform? And they said, I don't know, Coach, we're good friends. And we stopped, and I said, that was the issue. I said, it's not about being good friends. It's, are you connected? Like, are you willing to challenge each other? Are you willing to compete at a high level, even if it upsets a person in the short term? But that's family. Like, families disagree. They have arguments. They don't get along all the time, but they have the best interest of the other person in mind. And so you can have short-term disagreements if you have a long-term vision of building the best family. And I think that's what a lot of kids mistaken. They think getting along means you have chemistry, and it's not. Like, we don't get along in practice. Our practices are chippy. They get after each other. They're short-term disagreements. But when the practice is over, you dust your feet off and you move on to the next play, knowing that that person is not going to hold any hostility towards you into the next practice. And if you can, I feel like if you can generate that on a consistent basis, kids want to be a part of that. And when they're a part of it, they want to maintain that or hold that standard. And that's how you can generate some of those teams that can really overachieve, which we've been lucky enough to do a couple times.
And what a great life lesson for those young men to get, that you don't always have to agree with, you know, later on your employer, your fellow employees. You have to be respectful in doing it. But a lot of times that tension of disagreement is what makes a company or a team actually move and improve.
Right.
And rather than just letting whatever issues you might have as a team, whether you're not defensively, you're not getting after it or whatever, just let them go, because nobody wants to challenge their teammates and themselves to adopt a higher standard.
Right. Yeah. You've seen that. Sure. I know your teams have been, you've had so much success. You probably can tell the difference between your really, really good teams and the teams that have just been elite. You know, it's probably just a couple kids that are willing to make that sacrifice and challenge their teammates when they need to.
Yeah, and it's a culture. Sometimes, you know, you can do everything as a coach anyway that you think is right, and for whatever reason, it doesn't really yield that fruit. But I think that's just part of life, and we're all learning that lesson. We can't just wave a magic wand and do seven things, and the team is going to fall into some trance of being a good teammate.
Right.
There has to be buy-in, and sometimes maybe as coaches we don't affect the right methods to get that buy-in, and it's going to be a constant battle. And I think as coaches, especially young coaches, you have to be aware that there's going to be some frustration and some frustrating years,
mm-hmm.
and just like there is in any other profession.
Right.
Coach, talk for just a minute. I'm curious, do you have any, so, because you talked a little bit about summer and what you do. So at Bellevue West, the summer was a time that was very important to us for shot development. So for instance, we would have what's called a 10,000 made shot club. So you had to, from whatever that last day of school is till the first day of school, you had that window to record, and we would have them record it on a Google Doc, every workout they did, how many made shots, and those were game speeds, game speed at game spots, and it could not just, you're not just standing there shooting. And we gave them more guidelines than that, but you had to, you know, the goal was to make 10,000, which is a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work with each kid at the front end if we felt there was one or at most two things that they need to focus on to improve as a shooter. But by and large, it was challenging that. And part of that, we would have a part of our morning workout to give them. We would have a period where we would go for a period of time where if they're even a decent shooter, they should make, you know, about 100 or so,
mm-hmm.
to give them. Now, that's not going to get them to 10,000, but at least gives them a push in that direction. And then we would try to challenge them to work on something they felt was a little deficient in their game. But then when we got to the fall, we felt it was important for them, skill-wise, to improve what is already a strength, just to really work on that. I don't know if you did anything similar, or did you have an approach? Just curious, like you said earlier, just get some different ideas from different people.
Yeah, no, I like the 10,000 shot idea. We've done different things. I think what we've done recently is We do, so of the 4 days in the summer, one of the days is we just call it volume shooting. It's always timed. Every shooting thing we do is always timed, and I'm a big fan of making shots in a row. So a lot of our competitions, one of the days we do a lot of shooting competitions, and it's timed, and it's shots made in a row, and we just do a variety of ones, and kids keep track of their own score and try to beat their personal best. Today, so our like Wednesday is our volume shot day, and so what we do is we put 6 minutes on the clock, and each kid shoots for 6 minutes with a partner, and they record how many they made in that 6 minutes, and then their partner goes, and we do that three times. So we do three rounds, and they see how many they can make in a six-minute window, and we just record that. So like today, our program, we only had half of them because it was a football day, but we had, I think, over 4,700 made threes as a program, and then each kid has his own. And so I agree with you. I think what I always tell my youth athletes is to play at the varsity level, I just keep it real simple. Three skills that are really important to me. You can, one of the best shooters, handle the ball, and just guard. Like, if you can do those three things, I think you can be an all-stater. Two of those three, you can play at the varsity level. One of those three is probably not enough. If you can really shoot it, but you can't do the other two, there's a lot of those kids. If you can really guard somebody, but you can't handle or shoot it, we just have a hard time getting you on the floor. If you can do two of those three, so all of our summer stuff is devoted towards those three things. Can you shoot it? So we get a lot of shots up 2 days of the week, ball handling, and then guarding. And so I agree with you that the summer is a time for developing weaknesses. I think like when the kids go play on their club teams, I want them expanding their roles. But when we get to the fall, all of our stuff is devoted towards this next season. And if you're not a shooter, then we have other things that we want you to work on when we're doing, the fall workouts. And so summer, I agree, is a volume. We want a lot of shots. I like the 10,000 shot idea. We used to do that when I was younger, and I just went away with it because I felt like kids weren't doing them at game speed. They were just doing them to shoot it. And so our stuff now is all timed, and it's more how many shots can you make in a certain amount of time as opposed to like a long term. But that's just, like a lot of people do a lot of different ways. And so we're in that spot. And then we get to the fall. We don't shoot as much. We do the conditioning, lifting. We get a little more playing in. So it's kind of what we do.
That's great. And when I mentioned when we do the 10,000 deal, the mornings that we're shooting are just what you mentioned, which I think is critical. They have to be timed. And during each segment might be 4 minutes, it might be six, just on whatever shot we're doing or whatever drill we're doing. And they have to record their makes. And what we tell them then is, obviously, fellas, you're on your own, and you can go there and stand at the free throw line and just keep shooting. Mm-hmm. But what we're telling you is what we did this morning and every morning is the way we want you to record those shots. And if you're going to cheat yourself, that's what you're doing. You're right. Cheating yourself. It just is given a the kids, the good ones anyway, take some pride in getting 15,000-16,000 makes. And hopefully doing it the right way. But I love what you said because your work is intentional. It's intentional for improving either in handling it, passing it, defending it, or shooting it. And so everything's broken down, and you're not just going out there, we're going to do this skill drill today, but no, we're intentional about it, and I think that's very important. So, Coach, I really appreciate you coming in and excited to look again at Bennington next year. And I think you're a part of building a great program there, and you're doing things the right way. I know that. Wish you and family the best. You're right. That empty nest is my wife, Lori, and I were there and have been for several years now. Although grandchildren are now in the occupying the nest part of the time, but that'll be here before you know it. So enjoy that. These last whatever it would be 5-6 years before you are an empty nester, and I hope you have a great season next year at Bennington.
I appreciate it, Coach. Enjoyed it.
We have free resources available on advisorgameplan.com. If you would like to gain access to our full version of client resources, please contact us today on advisorgameplan.com to explore becoming a client. Also, subscribe today to Thriving Sports and stay up to date with future episodes and more interviews with more coaches. Together, let's be thriving coaches that put the player first in all situations. See ya!